Last week, we finished a two-part message entitled Fresh Fire, and we had an altar call that ended up pretty significant. About nearly 30 people, I think, came forward in that altar call and said, I need a freshness of God in my life. It's basically what most of the people wanted, and prayed for that fresh fire to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's what that message was about, being baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Well, I was thinking about that this week, and I thought, you know what? There is a lot of controversy about the gifts, and especially the gift of tongues. So today, we're going to talk about the gift of tongues and interpretation. We won't get done with it today. There's a lot to cover in that. This being a charismatic church, I periodically preach on this anyway, because it is a part of our doctrine, and a part of our service to the Lord, and a part of our conviction that's in the gifts are the power gifts that God uses to further His kingdom and prepare the way for His return. So, if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14, we're going to read verses 1 through 28. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 28. There is a lot of misunderstanding that has resulted over the years in a lot of feuding among believers about specifically the gift of tongues. I personally think that the enemy is behind that, because the enemy absolutely hates it when this gift flows the way it's supposed to, because it causes breaches in his kingdom when the gifts are used correctly. And we are reading in 1 Corinthians because this letter was written in instruction about the gifts and about the use of the gifts, and especially the gift of tongues, because the Corinthian church had gotten plumb crazy with it. They started evaluating people's spirituality on whether they spoke in tongues. And that is absolutely wrong. And so Paul, in this letter to Corinth, to the church in Corinth, deals with that and many other issues. A person is not more spiritual because they have the gift of tongues over any other gift. A person is more spiritual when they display the fruit of God. That's what makes a person spiritual, when the fruit is active. I have seen gross use of the gifts, including the gift of tongues. I've seen completely goofy people operating in the gift of tongues. Okay? But when people are full of the Holy Spirit and operate in the fruit of the Spirit as a foundation, and then the gifts operating as well, then you see well-rounded people where God is using them and utilizing the gifts of the Spirit through them. Okay, beginning to read 1 Corinthians 14. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the flute or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for the battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in the gifts that build up the church. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit. I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law it is written, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in a tongue, and some who do not understand it or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn, or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. If anyone speaks in a tongue, 2 or at the most 3 should speak, 1 at a time, and someone should interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. That's a mouthful, guys. That is a mouthful. So you can see from what I just read that Paul is dealing with a bunch of issues that cropped up in the misuse of the gifts in the church in Corinth. And so he's trying to rein them in and bring some understanding to it. So let's pray together a minute. Father, we pray for your understanding. Lord, open our minds, open our hearts. Lord, just open us up to your truth. Put a watch on my mouth that I only speak the words that you have ordained for this morning. Not a word or more, a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So just real quickly, I want to address a few things in this passage we just read. If I were going to word by word preach through this whole passage, I would say we probably wouldn't get it done by the end of this year. Because there are so many, there's a lot packed in here, okay? The first thing I want to look at is, it says in verse 2, anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Our spirit, when we are speaking in tongues, our spirit connects with God's spirit and it bypasses the brain. This is how we pray in the perfect will of God, when we are using the gift of tongues. And that gift then edifies us, the speaker. Were you listening? The speaker is edified. Not necessarily everyone else, because they don't know what you're saying unless there is an interpretation. Okay? Next, Paul says, I'd like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. Okay, now I want to slow down here, and I want to look at one word. Rather. That word is used in a lot of translations, obviously including the one I use. It's used in the King James. It's used in the New King James. It's used in the New Living Translation. I didn't look at all of the translations, but I saw it used in most of the translations. Okay? Why am I picking on this? Because that is a lousy translation of the original word. When we see the word rather, what you and I think is instead of. Is that or is that not, in our culture, what we believe rather to be me? Instead of. Okay, well, the original word in the Greek that was used doesn't mean instead of. The Greek word that is translated rather in this instance actually means along with and beyond that. That's what that Greek word means. Along with and beyond that. Well, that is absolutely, completely different than instead of. So when those that translated it to the word rather, what they did was put on this statement a negative connotation. Isn't that true? It was not intended to be a negative connotation. It was intended to be a positive connotation with instruction. He says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. But now, let's insert what would be a better translation, because it's what the word means that's translated rather. But I would, along with and beyond that, have you prophesy. Changes the whole tempo of the whole thing, doesn't it? Okay, so that clears that up. You wouldn't believe how many people have told me, the gifts, they went away. Where do you find that in the Bible? We're going to talk about that in this message between today and next week. It might even take 3 weeks. I don't care how long it takes. I want the people in this church to have an understanding from the Word of God, not doctrine that comes from man, but an understanding from the Word of God what it actually said. That's my goal in this. Because the gifts are for today. God has given them to empower us. That's why last 2 weeks we preached what we did. And we had an altar call for the outpouring of the fire of God in our lives. What good is that if we're not going to do anything with it? So now, let's do something with it. Amen? So, he who prophesies, it says in verse 5, is greater than one who speaks in tongues. Whoops, wait a minute, comma, unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. See, when there is tongues with interpretation, it is equal to prophecy. That's what we're seeing right here. Tongues with interpretation, and this is talking about this. In the corporate body of believers, and the ones that are gathered together. This is not talking about individual. This is talking about corporately. Here's why he is dealing with this. They had problems in the church because there was no order. Everybody was jumping up and spouting off in tongues. They'd have multiple people speaking in tongues. Nobody could understand what anybody was saying. And all it ended up bringing was a whole bunch of confusion and people that were angry and feuding about the use of the gift. You don't, even though we are a charismatic church and we function in the gifts, you don't see that here, do you? Why? Because we are following the order that God has laid out in Scripture. When there is a tongue, there is an interpretation. And if there is not an interpretation, then the speaker sits down. Mistakenly thought that it was for the whole body, but when God didn't give an interpretation, then the person is to sit down and be quiet according to God's word. We want the whole church edified. Amen? In verse 12 it says, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. That's the key. The gifts are given to build up the church, to empower the church. And in verse 13, it says, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. Okay? Not everybody has the gift of tongues. Not everybody has the gift of prophecy. Not everybody has any of the gifts. None of them are given to everybody. I've never seen anyone that possessed all of the gifts. But it says in God's word that he distributes them as he wills. But we're told here to pray. If we're speaking in tongues, pray that we would interpret. I saw that years ago, and I started praying. And it took a few years, but eventually I did get the gift of interpretation. If you've been around here for a while, you know that. That's true. It took quite a while before God handed that out to me. I suppose I probably had to grow up. And a little growing up to do. So, interesting, he says in verse 15, I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. Now, as I said, when we are speaking in tongues, our mind is unfruitful, according to what is written. That's right. Our mind, in other words, is not involved in it. When we are praying with our mind, in other words, we're thinking about what we're praying. Okay? How many times, guys, is it that you're trying to pray for someone and you just get to the place where you're hung up because you just don't know what to pray, how to pray for that situation. You guys, you run into those situations? You must run into it all the time, because I do. And have ever since I got saved. When we pray with the gift of tongues, we are praying with our spirit, and our spirit is in communion with God. And then, even though we might not know what we're praying, we are praying in the perfect will of God. We know that. Dude, that's big. That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome that you can know you're praying in the will of God. And you know what? When I'm interceding for somebody, as long as I know God is interceding through me, through the gift of tongues when I'm praying for them, I don't need to know what I'm praying for that. I don't care if I don't know. Some people get all hung up on that. Don't let the enemy get you all hung up on that. He says, I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. I don't know how many of you have ever been in a service where the Spirit of God breaks out on the people, and the people that are baptized in the Holy Spirit start singing in tongues. But it is absolutely beautiful. I mean, it is absolutely amazing. You know, you would almost think I might have a halfway decent voice when I'm singing in the Spirit. That's because my mind's not involved in it. You know? That's why I got hope when I get to glory. I might make the choir. Because I'll be in the Spirit then. Now, I got to wait for that, because when I'm singing with my mind, it's not a pretty thing here on earth. But I love praising my God, but I didn't get those beautiful pipes. I got me a loud voice for preaching, one that carried. That's what we got to deal with here. So, the gift of speaking in tongues became a concern in the Corinthian church because the use of the gift had begun to cause disorder in the church, as I said earlier. Speaking in tongues is a legitimate gift of the Holy Spirit, but the Corinthian believers were using it as a sign of spiritual superiority rather than as a means to spiritual unity and power. All of the spiritual gifts are only beneficial when they are properly used to benefit everyone in the church. The only time that they are really useful is when they are used to benefit everyone in the church. That's why here at Gateway, we are sticklers about order. Sometimes I have to bring loving correction. But I got to level with you. We've not had a lot of problems. We're coming up on 23-year-old church here pretty soon. On April 5th at our church service. It'll be our 23-year anniversary. And that is Easter this year. So double whammy. Easter will be our 25th year anniversary here. No, 23rd year anniversary here. Spoke wrong. But in all those years, we've not had any kind of a big problem. Maybe little things, little things here and there, where I just go to a person privately and speak to them about it. Show them in the Word, and it's been good. But if there is not solid leadership grounded, it can go awry very quickly. I've seen it happen, and churches end up upside down and a bunch of feud and chaos. Just ends up being the devil's playground. He loves it when he can twist up the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11, guys. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11. Beginning to read in verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I want to stop there a second. Right there it is. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to us for the common good, so that we, together as believers, are edified and lifted up. That is why it's given. It's why the power gifts are given, so that we can overcome the wiles of the enemy, and we can do that together as the body of Christ. As God raises up different people with different giftings, and when those gifts operate together in the body of Christ, the whole body then is lifted up. To one is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. So we're called to pray for the gifts. You know why I think, in spite of the fact that He's going to distribute them the way He sees fit? I personally, this is just my opinion, I personally think that He calls us to pray for the gifts because we're supposed to ask. He wants to know we really want them. And as I talked about the last two messages, when we were talking about Holy Ghost fire, about fresh fire, when we were talking about that, I express, listen, the gifts are for power. So God didn't leave us like vagabonds here. He gave us the Holy Spirit to empower us to fulfill what the Word of God requires. We can't fulfill the Word of God in our own strength. But He has given us the Holy Spirit of the living God to empower us to fulfill what the Word of God requires. So, we see it listed. Different kinds of tongues. Speaking in different kinds of tongues. We've talked about this before. Larry has a gift for knowing when there's a word coming to edify the body of Christ. And then he'll either get my attention or there's a gap where he can begin to speak. And then he speaks those words. that has come through him, and I have the same thing. Different times, different situations, I speak in, they're different tongues. It's a different language, I know it is. One of the tongues that I get when I am in spiritual warfare is radically different than any other tongue. I mean, when I am really in duress, really in the thick of things, and really in battle, and I'm praying in tongues, the best way I can explain it is it seems it's an Indian tongue. I don't know how else to express it to you. But to me, it sounds like an Indian tongue. And Larry gets different tongues, different times, and I recognize that because he and I have worked in that way together for so many times and spoken tongues. I recognize when it's a different tongue than he normally speaks. But so we're supposed to pray for the gifts. We're supposed to pray, okay, this is what we're talking about here. Different kinds of tongues. We're supposed to pray for the ability to speak in tongues. And then we're told we're supposed to pray for the interpretation of tongues. I have not ever seen anyone where everyone speaks in tongues. And I have never seen it where everybody that speaks in tongues has a gift of interpretation. I personally have never seen that. All right? Now, am I saying it's impossible? I suppose not. People get deep in the Lord, and I mean, I don't know. God can do what he wants to because he's God. I just personally have never seen that. First Corinthians 12, verses 27 through 30. Corinthians 12, verses 27 through 30. It says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And here's his answer. Eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way. When he's speaking of the greater gifts, he is speaking of the ones that edify the whole body of believers. Okay? Listen. He's not putting down any of the gifts. Are we clear on that? I want to tell you something. I can't picture in my mind any gift that God gives to us that's not good. If it comes from God, it's good. Are some maybe better than others? Of course. That's what it's talking about. But we're not talking about bad gifts and good gifts. If it comes from God, it's good and well to be desired. Amen? How much do we need in the body of Christ? Look at how many sicknesses there are around right now. Look at all of the cancer. The stuff I'm dealing with now. Jim and Sherry. Jim now is dealing with breathing issues too. I'm still dealing with that. I mean, there's all kinds of things happening right now. We need the gifts flowing. We need gifts of miracles. We need people with those gifts. And listen, it shouldn't all be the pastor and the leadership of the church. I had these gifts before I was even a pastor, and I was out there praying for people in the hospitals and out there using them, praying for people in the shop that I had. I changed the oil in their car and I anointed their heads with oil. Quaker Steak 10:30 was the brand of the day. And I saw a whole lot of people get miraculously healed in my shop, and I anointed them with Quaker Steak 10:30. And I mean, they got anointed because I opened the spigot on my barrel and got my hand full of it. And when they got anointed, it run down them. I had a woman one time that came in. She delivered parts for a place that was called Layman's then, on 2nd Street in Clinton. Okay, and this woman had been delivering parts for them quite a while. And she was a believer and had gotten to know her quite a bit. She'd drop off parts and on her way. Well, she came in one day and she said, "I am so sick of not being able to taste anything or smell anything." I said, "Really? You can't taste or smell anything?" "No, I'm hungry, but it takes a lot of the joy out of eating when you can't taste it or smell anything." And I said, "Well, God can heal that." And she said, "Well, yeah, I know." I said, "No, you're not hearing me. God can heal that." I said, "Would you like me to pray for you?" "Well, yeah, I guess." I said, "You're going to get healed." And she was like, I mean, listen, I don't normally speak like that, but the Holy Ghost came on me strong, and I was speaking from the Holy Spirit. I said, "Come here." My help, Ray, that worked with me for like 10 years, he got saved at my shop. He was like, I looked at him, he's underneath a car working. I see him turn his head, he's grinning from ear to ear. I said, "Come here." I went back to my oil tank, opened the spigot, got 10:30 on my hand, slapped my hand on her forehead, and started praying for a miracle. I said, "Do you smell anything?" When we got done praying, "No." "It's all right, you're gonna." She went on her way. I said, "Oh Lord, I know you led me to do that." So as I went back to work, what I was doing, I said, "Oh Lord, I know you was leading me. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Glorify yourself." Well, that's happened often. The phone rang. I had to wipe off my hands and go and answer the phone. And it was her on the other end of the line. She said, "I just got back to the shop." I said, "Yeah? I just wanted you to know, Big Jim's got B.O. today." True story, guys. True story. You can't make that stuff up. And from that day forward, her taste and her smell was back. And that's the kinds of things that happen when people are operating in the Holy Spirit, letting the Spirit of God lead them, praying for and receiving the gifts and then using them. I believe there are countless gifts in the body of Christ that are sitting in a treasure chest and never taken out and used. What would happen to this area if all of you as believers went out and started operating in the gifts that God will give you? I'll tell you what would happen. We'd have revival. Amen. I hope you're getting fired up because I am. God wants to use us for His glory. Paul makes several points about speaking in tongues in chapter 14. First of all, chapter 2, it's a spiritual gift from God. It's a spiritual gift from God. And as I said earlier, God don't give bad gifts. God gives all good gifts. It's a desirable gift. According to verse 5. It says there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. The gifts are desirable. And by the way, in verse 5 of our text, when I told you about the Greek word that is translated lousy in most the word rather, and it should have been not that, but along with and beyond that. That Greek word, if you want to jot that down in your notes or get it etched in up here, is M-A-L-L-O-N, malon. That is the Greek word. You can look it up in a Vine's Expository if you want to. That's what I did. It gives the true meaning of the Greek words used. So that's the reference I looked it up in. It wasn't hard to find. It was just a matter of looking at the Greek, the original Greek word. It says in verse 4, he who speaks in tongues edifies himself, unless interpreted. There are times when I don't know what to pray for other people. There are also an awful lot of times when I don't even know what to pray for myself. And I just start praying as the Spirit gives me utterance and praying in tongues. And after that has come to an end, I can't explain it, but I feel refreshed. My spirit is refreshed. Because my mind didn't get in the way. Joyce Meyer has said for years, stop that stinking thinking. Now you don't want to get so spiritual that all you ever do is speak in tongues. Because you read it with me or you listened with me. We need to pray with our mind, too. There's a time for that. And we also need to pray with our spirit. The technical term for the gift in Greek is glossolalia. You want me to spell that? For those of you who are taking notes, glossolalia. G-L-O-S-S-O. L-A-L-I-A. Glossolalia. Glossa, which means tongue. Grab your tongue, you got a hold of your glossa. Okay? Lalia, which means speech or speaking. Put them together. Glossolalia, tongues, speaking in tongues. Paul instructs us in orderly worship. All must be done for the strengthening of the church, not so that somebody can look spiritual. What I have seen over the years is, and the problem that was there, again, in 1 Corinthians, was people were using the gift of tongues, or other gifts as well, as a barometer to how spiritual they were. whenever that begins to happen, chaos will follow and God will take his hands off. He will not flow where there is disunity. There must be unity for the Spirit of God to flow. You want fresh fire to flow in a church? There's got to be unity. No backbiting. Somebody know what I'm talking about? If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three, one at a time. Remember, I told you that that was a big problem in the church. I mean, they had a lot of problems in the Corinthian church. People standing up and yelling across the way at each other. Can you imagine during the service? Just so you know, if somebody started doing that while I'm up here preaching, that's really disrespectful. I would put a stop to it if I had to come down there. Because it's so out of order. So two or at the most three at a time, and one at a time, actually. Someone must interpret, or the speaker has got to be quiet. When the gift of interpretation is used correctly, it is equal then to prophecy. The exception is when people are worshiping together in the Spirit, as I talked about earlier, singing in the Spirit, or worshiping Him in tongues. This is an area where people have misunderstanding now today. They think that if they come into a church and it breaks out during worship and there's a bunch of people, maybe the whole congregation, singing in the Spirit, there are people that think that that's out of order. But it's not, because that is during worship. That is not during a time when the Word of God is being taught or preached. Does that make sense to you? Our God is a God of order. I want to encourage you. Maybe I haven't preached on this enough and taught on this enough, but I seriously, as pastor of this church, want to encourage you to be willing to step out and use the gifts that God would give you. Pray for whatever gifts He would give you. Pray for tongues. If you don't have it yet, pray for it. We're specifically told to pray for that one. Because you'll be edified through it. And then, after that, pray. If you get the gift of tongues, then pray for interpretation. Be willing to step out of faith. Begin to pray for people and pray the prayer of faith. Let God lead you. Anoint people with oil. I carried oil in my pocket long before I was a pastor. And of course, the 16 years I was in my shop, I had Quaker State tender. You see, the power is not in the oil. The oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The power is in a vessel of God moving in the gifts of God and obediently anointing people with oil when they're sick. James 5. Read James 5. Is any of you sick? Has any of you sinned? Call the elders of the church. By the way, the pastor is the head elder. call the elders of the church, have them come and anoint you with oil and pray with you, and the prayer that is offered in faith will raise the sick person up. We read that, but we do not fix on it. There are all kinds of professing believers in this nation that are professing believers and do not believe that. If you don't believe that part of the Word of God, then what other parts do you not believe? I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, because I want this church, in these last days, however long they are, to be a lighthouse and a beacon and a gathering place of people that are fueled up and go forth out into the community and carry the power of God and reach people for Jesus Christ, leading people to salvation and then leading them to the church so that they can be made into disciples. Because see, we're not supposed to just make believers. We're supposed to be making disciples of Christ. We're out of time. You guys getting something out of this? If nothing else, have you been under preaching about this before or teaching? If nothing else, at least I hope you're getting a renewal, a refresher course. Let's stand together if you will. Father, we praise you, we glorify you. We thank you, Lord, that you are our God. You're our all in all. You are the great God I am. Lord, we repent for not being hungry enough to desire and pray for your gifts so that we are powerful in your kingdom. Lord, this week, as we leave this place, we're entering our mission field. Lord, send people into our path that need to hear about you, that need to know about you, people that maybe need a prayer, people that need to have hope restored in their life. Whatever it is, put them in our path. And Lord, empower us. And Lord, make us bold and willing to step out and operate in the gifts that you have planted in us. And bring us back safely next weekend to be refueled again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you guys.